Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have gotten to see the conclusion of a 3-14 season. Shout out to all the fans who were there in the stands cheering or not cheering the Titans on. It was a crazy game. The Titans ended up dropping it to the Texans and the Patriots. God bless Joe Milton III. The Patriots were able to beat the Bills, and that put the Titans at the number one pick. And obviously, there's some guys that are square right there in the middle of looking at things. And we'll get into that as the year goes on, the offseason, that is. Later this month, I'll be at the East-West Shrine where Shedeur Sanders will be. And I'll be at the Senior Bowl where Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart. I know there's a lot of Jackson Dart lovers out there. So we'll be where they are, and we'll definitely bring you coverage there. So we're going to keep this thing rolling. We got Run TMC going. You know what? We're going to go double the trouble with them. I think it's with that segment, rather. I think it's only right to get Chris Sanders on because there's a lot going on, right? The firing of Rand Carthon. That's a huge move. So we'll get into that. And that's actually where we'll start there. Parker Kelly is right here ready to rock out too, man. Parker, let me ask you this. When you first heard the news, what was your first thought?
Well, I will say, regardless of if I'm a fan of the move or not, I'll get to that a little bit later. What I was surprised by was the Titans doing it as early as they did. And I was totally expecting this move to be made a year later, because if the Titans are able to put together a good draft, I still don't see them being too competitive next year. But it's like we talked about before we got on the air. Rand Carthon hired Chad Brinker in 2023, and yet Brinker stayed and got a promotion, but yet they fired Carthon. So that part didn't make much sense.
Yeah, I mean, he got the promotion, the real true promotion this past January. But then as it is still a promotion in my book when you look at the situation now, because he does have control of the roster, right, as far as the final decision. And he is going to be in charge of searching for the replacement for the guy that hired him into the Titans organization in the first place. It's very, very tricky. It's a sticky situation. And these are the types of things that arise in business, in the league, when things don't go well. And here we are, the 3-14 season. Me personally, I would say I disagree with the decision. And everybody, when you hear me say that, you're going to say, oh, well, he disagrees because Rand got fired. No, I disagree, because I felt when you look at the collaboration side of it, when you look at the way things were introduced, and I understand just in talking to Chad Brinker, Burke Nahill, I understand that, you know, it is actually a different role, so to speak. Now, Rand was hired to do a different role. I understand that. But I think when you look at the message that was trumpeted out when he was hired, Rand was hired, I think you have a degree of things not being on the same page. So I'll ask you, do you think that the move should have been, like, what are your thoughts on the move? Like, where do you stand?
My issue with it, I will say, and I'll give you the opportunity to change my mind on this, because you have more information than I do. I was a fan of the move, and here's why. It really boils down to one reason, is there was clear regression from year to year. It went 7-10 in 22 to 6-11 last year, and I know Carthon wasn't part of the whole deal in 22. 2023, there was a 6-11 record, and then to this year, you're 3-14, you have the first overall pick. So I saw the clear regression. I didn't see really anything progress-wise that would make me want to change my mind. Now, I could totally see the other side of, well, you got to give it time to pan out and give him a third year. And if, you know, there's nothing that happens, then, you know, cut the head off the snake, start over. But at the end of the day, if you're going to start over, blow it up completely. If that means that Brian Callahan is part of the collateral damage, that's unfair to him, but this is an unfair league. So you got to start over if you're going to do it.
See, that's where I am. And that's where I feel this move was wrong. To me, it's either you allow the collaboration that you preached about when Rand was hired, because here's the deal, right? And I understand, again, they're saying that it has changed. But, you know, when you look at this, Amy Adams Strunk said that she wants someone who's an exceptional talent evaluator, exceptional at roster building, and who is an excellent decision maker. That's what she said when she hired Rand Carthon. And she said that I'm excited about finding the right person. So why do you, in the same breath, when it's over, why do you mention these same qualities that describe the guy that you hired? For one.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, because I have zero doubts in my mind that Rand Carthon was an excellent talent evaluator, relationship builder. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I believe that's why Calvin Ridley was here. That's point A, the clear-cut example. But, I mean, the whole collaboration thing, I do want to get your thoughts on that, because I know the whole situation with Mike Vrabel was a whole – deal in itself, but didn't all three guys, Brinker, Callahan, and Carthon, they all had a big role to play in this? It wasn't just Rand Carthon's fault.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the collaboration?
Right, and that's the thing, the collaboration part of it. You know, when you look at just the way, like I asked Brian Callahan about it, and he said that all three parties, they had equal, they worked things out among themselves. It has never been stated specifically that Rand Carthon has final say, frankly. And it has been stated that, you know, his job is to oversee the roster. But it has also been stated that Chad Brinker will have input in the roster development and roster building. It has clearly been stated, because that's what he was hired to do, Brian Callahan was going to coach the talent that is put into the locker room, put onto the field. So to me, that's equal contribution. That is a collaboration, is when different parties come together and the result, good or bad, is a product of their coming together. So I will without a doubt say things have been bad. I will agree with you. It has regressed. Now, the regression from last year to this year, I think you also it's more of a reset than what was being put out there to be. And then in addition to that, if you go back to what Amy Adams Strunk, what she said in the beginning, she said that, I think this is going to be a great reset for us going forward. Wait a minute. Reset usually happens when things have hit a bad point. Most of the time when you have a reset, there's a build-up period to get back to that good status that you were in before you tumbled down to needing a reset. So I'm just saying, naturally, there's going to be a regression. And I'm not making excuses. I told Rand himself, you're not doing good enough. Like, the job is not being done. There's not a winning product on the field. So I'm not defending him at all. I just feel this way, Parker. If you're going to have equal responsibility at the beginning as far as presenting how you're going to attack this issue, if that issue attacks you back and beats you like it did at a 3-14 record, you don't just hold one person accountable. You got to hold everybody.
I believe this year the kind of power struggle that we saw in 23 between Carthon and Vrabel, that was a whole mess. It was very nebulous. This year, while it may have been a little less nebulous, the power between the three parties was a little bit clearer. But that idea of a reset that Amy Adams Strunk talked about is kind of mind-boggling to me. My dad had this famous quote as I was growing up. He said, every situation, poop or get off the pot. And if you're going to fire Carthon, clearly she's showing that they're putting all the blame on him.
Right.
But Brinker is one of Carthon's guys. Callahan was handpicked by them. So I can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah. And I tell you, Brian Callahan, and I actually have a story on ESPN.com about the Titans and their new mission going forward, their vision, right, to draft, develop, and retain. They want to draft fast, big, strong players that winning is most important to them. That's what they want to draft. And that's, yeah, I agree. That's what you want to draft. And they want to develop those players. Brian Callahan is going to be in charge of developing those players. The next general manager is going to be in charge of retaining those players. It's a plan. Like, that's the plan you want to follow. So I think when you look at this process, if I'm Brian Callahan and I hear them say, okay, they believe that I could get us there, but they're going to hold me accountable, I'm just like, okay. I feel like I'm next to be thrown on the grill, frankly. So that's something to think about. And, you know, Brian Callahan, I we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, Parker, we're on the new GM, right? And the new GM, the role that they want is they want a guy who, let's look at the description here. I thought it was, it was interesting, the description that they give. And this is a description that I think does fall in line with what you want a general manager to do. The primary responsibility for that general manager will be overseeing the personnel staff, the coaching staff, setting free agency strategy and the draft strategy, and integrating coaching into the process of all that. This is a real general manager position, and it's a key role in the organization. He also went on to say he wanted a lifetime scout, a guy who has proven roster building experience. A lot of this is, in essence, what Rand Carthon did. But nevertheless, here we are. So as you're looking at these guys, that and women, this woman that they've requested. So the list right now, requested interviews: Reggie McKenzie, Dolphins senior personnel executive; Terrence Gray, Bills director of player personnel; Catherine Hickman, this is intriguing, Catherine Hickman, Browns assistant general manager and VP of football operations; John Spytek, Bucks assistant GM; Ed Dodds, Colts assistant GM; and Mike Bargonzi, Chiefs assistant GM. Now, Parker, there's a reason why I left Mike Bargonzi to last, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to say this offseason, what move was the worst move for the Titans? What would you like? What do you think most people would say was the worst move the Titans made this offseason?
This offseason, probably, and this may be me listening to a little too much Stillman and Company, but not getting a right tackle was pretty big up there for me. I'd say going back a couple of years, drafting Will Levis, that might have been another one. Are you thinking
this, what happened this offseason? What didn't happen in not getting a right tackle, but what happened? What would you say was the worst move this team did this offseason?
Ooh.
Or what would not you? What do most of the fans tell you is the worst move this offseason?
Giving Rand Carthon a promotion?
No, Legarius Sneed trade. Most fans will tell you that the Legarius Sneed trade was the worst move, right? So that being said, that's a move that everybody puts on Rand Carthon, and yeah, Rand had a lot to do with it, right? But you look at this interview request with Mark Bargonzi, Chiefs assistant GM. Paul Kuharsky does an excellent job of reporting. I will say it. He does a great job. Well, in his story that detailed the Legarius Sneed trade, what he says is Chad Brinker had a pre-existing relationship with KC assistant general manager Mark Bargonzi. You know that it is true because here he was actually the first guy that he requested. The newly structured Titans front office will regularly operate that way. That way that he's talking about is working off of pre-existing relationships. So Chad Brinker, and Mark Borgonzi did most of the talking for the Legarius Snead trade. But that's all Rand's fault. Rand is fired. I'm just saying, moving on, when you look at some of the other candidates that I think should be considered, Ian Cunningham, Bears assistant GM. Well, wait, TD, who the heck would want anything to do with the Bears? Look, man, check their roster. It's very good, okay? Ian Cunningham was one of the guys that interviewed for the job in 2023 as well, so that's where I still put that tie. Lee Gissendaner, he's a Packers senior personnel executive. He's worked for the Packers since 1998, folks. One of the things Chad Brinker said he wanted was a lifetime scout. You have it right there. And Lee actually played in the World League. He played in Canada. He was a legit prospect that played professional football and has done a great job over time with the Green Bay Packers. There's a relationship there. I would be very surprised if Lee Gissendaner does not have some type of role with this team. Now, the other one that I'm going to mention is John Eric Sullivan, and he's the VP of player personnel. Again, this goes back to the Packers ties. And the reason why I have, and Reggie McKenzie, even though he's the Dolphins senior personnel executive, I put that with some of the ties as well. Why? Well, it's pretty simple. Chad Brinker, when I talked to him, he mentioned how he grew up in the Green Bay way, the draft, develop, and retain, and be kind of moderate in free agency. He grew up in the Green Bay way. He feels that's the way. Don't be surprised if Reggie McKenzie, Lee Gissendaner, and John Eric Sullivan are all with the Titans in some sort of role. I'm telling you that now. Don't be surprised. Because the way that I look at this is Chad Brinker, and it's smart what he's doing. I give him credit. It is smart. Because what you want to do when you're a leader, you have to be willing to step aside and hire people who do the job really well and not be afraid of allowing them to shine. And to me, I think that's what he would be doing. Now, conversely, you bring those three in, everything goes wrong, you could say, hey, man, like, I hired them. They didn't do well. First, Brian Callahan didn't coach the team, so you got him out of there. But now you have other layers between you and the actual sword that other people would get thrown on. So, look, that's just my way of looking at things. We could talk about this a lot more. In fact, that's what we're going to do, Parker. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah. Here we go. The lights fade. And now, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Starting at power forward for your Supersonics. Out of Concord High School, Indiana. Number 40, Sean Kemp.
And now, starting with the Jackson 5, number 4. Jackson.
I was this close to calling you Malik Sealy, but I said I'll at least give you all stars.
There you go, man. What's up, big dog? How you doing, man, over there?
Hey, man, life is great, man. Life is great. It's another season in the books. Obviously, this was a crazy season, or a wild one, but it was what it was. What's up with you?
Man, I'm good, man. Just kind of trying to digest all the stuff that's been going on with the Titans. I mean, we know we had a season kind of like what you alluded to, but just all the stuff that's going on with Rand Carthon and, you know, just the whole organization, what's the stability of what's going on with them. And it just kind of breaks my heart as being a former Titan, former Oiler, you know, just the things that are going on with my franchise. It's just kind of disheartening right now.
Yeah, it is disheartening to see how things have boiled out. And this is an organization where, I mean, look, just a couple years ago, collaboration and a new vision and a new direction, a new way of doing things. And, you know, the door opens and Rand Carthon walks in the door and all you hear is, you heard more clapping. You heard more clapping at that introduction, like when he walked into the building, than you heard at the Titans game to end the season. How about it?
You know, and you know what's so cool about that, TD, is just the picture of where he's come from to be a scout. You know, to now be a GM, and now you come into a building to where everybody's not just clapping, but giving you a standing ovation. That everybody in the organization, you know, from the guy who's doing player development or player engagement, or even, you know, even whoever's doing whatever, they're all welcoming him to say, you know what, he's going to take us to the promised land. And I thought it was a beautiful sight to see that.
They were welcoming the person they were going to throw on the grill if stuff didn't go wrong. Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna just keep it a buck. You see what I'm saying? That's what they were welcoming. Man. And it's really the way things have shifted. It's been very, very, I don't want to say, I say intriguing. It's watching this whole thing play out. And I tell you, it's a process where you say, you really have to be careful what you do at all moments and who you surround yourself with.
See, you know what's so funny? Just kind of looking at the whole scenario, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the Apollo. Remember, you know, the Apollo amateur night?
Yeah.
When you walk out and you're trying to perform to prove to the crowd that you can sing, dance, whatever. But if you don't do it, here come the man sweeping you off the like get off the stage. And that's kind of what we saw right now is Rand wanted to show his talents, his evaluation talents, his, you know, developing players, all those things that he loves doing. But then the same people that were in the crowd are the same people that are sweeping you off the stage. And I just think that, you know, it's just kind of disappointing because I understand you have to make changes. I know that.
But do you?
Do you? Yeah, not in this sense. Because the thing about it is, basically, Rand had, and it's just my opinion, he only basically had 1 year to try to improve this whole roster. Because now this year, him, Brinker, and all those guys that supposedly, quote, came together and made these choices. So run it back another year, see if it works, because you already got the foundation built, but now build on top of what you're building. So just keep it another year, run it back. But the problem with that is, TD, is the demand on winning is so high right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes an owner or a president of the organization is like, okay, if we don't win now, we got to get somebody in there to see if they can win. Because let me ask you this question. What if they go 1-16 next year? Do you fire the next general manager come in? Do you fire the president? What do you do?
Right. And see, that to me is why I felt you do one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
I felt you give this another year to work out. And if it didn't work out, you clean house. If you feel a change absolutely has to be made, especially in an environment where collaboration, walking lockstep, if you feel that that is a move has to be made and that's the mantra that you're living by, live by it. Through the good and through the bad.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is if you feel that that's the way to go, clean it all. Don't just do one. Clean it all out. Frankly, I would have said this had it been Rand that got fired, had it been Chad Brinker that got fired,
absolutely,
or had it been Brian Callahan. Rand Carthon getting fired has nothing to do with this, folks.
Absolutely.
So don't push that button.
Hey, can I say something too on that, TD? This is, and I want to make this stuff very clear. This is not a black or white thing. It's a principle thing. So I want to make sure that very carefully because people are like, oh, you just said it because he's black. No, he's not. What if he was white? I don't care if he was Mexican or Puerto Rican. I don't care. It's the principle of what you said on April 23rd that it takes all of us to make it work. That's what I'm upset about because you said that we all going to make it work. So why is one guy out of here?
Right. And when you have this whole thing about collaboration, right, that means everybody's involved. And not only that, It was never stated that Rand had final. They said we want him to focus on controlling the locker, the roster. They didn't say we're going to give him final say on the roster. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who want to rebut that, that's fine.
Right.
I present Exhibit A. At Brian Callahan's exit, or not exit, but his season end press conference, I specifically asked him, to what degree, what was Chad Brinker's involvement throughout the year? Here it is. Chad was involved in all of it. I'll read the sentence one more time. Chad was involved in all of it.
Did you say some?
No.
Okay.
Not a little bit. All. Chad, he scouted before for a long time. That's what he's done. His background is in personnel. It's in scouting. But he's also got unique experiences in the business side of it with his time in Green Bay. And has a really good feel for what the structure of an organization should look like. Wow. And, yeah, it's really been the three of us sort of all the way, all along. I'll say it one more time for the people in the back. Yeah, it's really been the three of us sort of all the way along. From the time I got here and all the way through the season, as we've all sort of worked on the same things. And Chad has his responsibilities, and Rand has his, and I have mine, and we all come together and try to make whenever decisions are made. Again, we all come together and try to make whenever decisions are made or whenever we need to do something that we're all on the same page. And we have been all year. Again, whenever decisions are made, whenever we need to do something, we try to make sure that we're all on the same page, and we have been all year. That part's been really, really fun for me. I've enjoyed that part because I think Chad's got unique experiences, unique perspective, and so does Rand. I think they're both really unique people. I'm glad we have them. So, Brian, wait a minute. So what you're saying is you guys are all working together. Okay, what happens when you're trying to navigate through a disagreement or not seeing the same, being on the same page? Oh, well, yeah, you know, look, I think you just can't be afraid. This is Brian Callahan. I think you just can't be afraid to have a hard conversation. You state your opinion, and you say what you believe in, and you had to come to a consensus. And then whenever the consensus is reached, whether you ultimately are in full agreement or not, you move forward because that's the decision that we've made together.
There you go.
You move forward because that's the decision that we've made together. I think that's the way most decisions get made in good business. You take the information, you state your opinion, and then you decide what the best way to move forward. And even if you're not the one that's fully on board with it, or you think another opinion, once you make the decision, you go. And it's our decision at that point. It's our decision at that point. And we're all a part of it, and we all own it. So that's how it's always worked, and I think it's worked pretty well. I don't know, Christopher Sanders. It sounds to me like as if everybody had full part of the decision making. No, and that nobody had final word.
Everybody. You know, this is what's wild. And I'm going to ask you this question, TD. They spent $326 million on the offseason. On the offseason. So you telling me that Rand Carthon was the only person that made decision in the draft and in the free agency wise? Is he the only one that made the decision for him to let go? But just like you made some great points, everybody was in collaboration of making every decision. So if the $326 million that they spent on the offseason, are you telling me, basically what you're saying is he's the reason why we lost. He's the reason why we're 9-25 in the last 2 years. You see what I'm saying? Is it him? So I'm being careful what I'm saying, but I think that this is my opinion. I just think that it's easier to put people – it's easier to put the blame on somebody because everybody wants to know why the Tennessee Titans lost. Why did you bring these players in? Why? So now when you put the pin on that certain spot, so now everybody's looking, okay, he's the reason why. And I think this is my opinion. I think it is unfair, and I think it's not using integrity to put all the blame on Rand Carthon. When you said on April 23rd, it takes all of us to make it work.
Absolutely.
That's where I'm having a problem.
And, you know, people are saying, oh, well, the NFL is not fair. Okay, that's fine. But unethical, it is unethical. You know, when you trot out a certain understanding and approach to doing things, and then you turn around and the consequence comes to one person. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. I think it should have been, if you're going to have consequence, everybody needed to. It's this case, this feels to me like one person was made the fall per, well, not one person, because Anthony Robinson had to go. John Albertson had to go. Like, we're talking about people, you know, that have been part of the organization. Brent Akers had to go. You know, this is all a very, very, I don't even know how to explain it, but the situation is not bad. And I will say this. I've had assistant GMs text me and say, hey, what's going on over there?
See?
It's a mess. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
Wow.
And they saw the description.
Wow.
That Chad Brinker put out there, and they said, that's basically what I do now.
Oh.
I mean.
Wow.
What? What do you make of this?
This is what we talk about. The business side of it is so bad that, man, can I just be honest with you?
Absolutely.
It's just really disheartening that an organization will pin it on one person to say he's the reason why. That you don't. His daughter has to see this. His wife has to see this. A guy that worked all his life, a guy that said, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice being away from my family to make this organization work. Understand it was a terrible season. Understand the losses were bad. Understand when he went in free agency that the things that he did didn't pan out like he wanted to. But he wasn't the only one that made the choice of going through the draft and also going through free agency, TD. That's what's hard to swallow is saying, you know what? You know, you're the reason why we lost. You're the reason why we're 9-25. You're the reason why we got embarrassed. That's not fair for this organization to pin it on Rand. And I think it's wrong because the thing about it is just imagine when I played with the Tennessee Titans, if I had one of my teammates that I was close to, he went around, he was talking about, man, he's sorry. He ain't no good. After the season we lost, how do you think I would feel as a man? I would never trust that teammate again.
I tell you what. Go ahead. No, finish.
No, you good. It's the same thing. It's like when you're in an organization, after you, you know, they say that you're at the fault, I would never trust that person again.
Yeah, how could you? And, you know, let me ask you this, right? You look at, because a big part of this not working out, you know, are free agents that didn't pan out, obviously, mm-hmm. right? And look, I'm not going to say Rand Carthon is not at fault for these moves.
Exactly.
He had a large part of it.
1,000.
Not all part of it, but a large part of it. Right. Will Levis being selected, a large part of it, right?
Yeah.
But let's go back to the free agent class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you had to look at the additions that didn't work out, Chidobe Awuzie, for now, didn't work out, right? Chidobe Awuzie, L'Jarius Sneed, Lloyd Cushenberry. What is something that's common with all three of those guys?
What's common? It is.
I'm going to let Parker say it.
L'Jarius Sneed, Chidobe Awuzie, and who's the other one? They were all free agents. Came over in free agency.
That ended up missing time. Why?
Because of injury.
Injury.
Right. So you heard that, right? Because of injury.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Okay. So what was rolled out before the season? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we have a guy who has an injury model, right? You remember that?
Right.
The injury predictor model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was supposed to tell you, okay.
That's a good
this
point.
Guy is more susceptible to injury than another
where you're
guy.
Going. Oh,
that
man.
Wasn't Rand's idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, if we're going to sit here and try to pull one person
point,
out
brother.
For responsibility, let's look at the whole picture. And by all means, point. For those of you who are out there saying, oh, well, he's defending. No, I'm not defending Rand. I'm just not going to allow you to take full response, not even full, any responsibility that Chad Brinker has out of the picture. I'm not going to allow you to do that.
But you know what, TD? The funny thing about it is, when, remember, on April 23rd, he said it takes all of us to make it work, right? So now, here's what you can do. You got Rand that focuses on the football side. To where this guy can play, this guy does this well, this guy does this well. You got Brinker that brings in the analytics. Well, you know, the percentage of him getting hurt, whatever, whatever. So they had to have that conversation. And then you have the head coach to say, you know what, okay, I gathered up all the information that Rand said. I gathered up all the information that Brinker said. Now let's collaborate and make the choice. Do we want to bring him in?
Yeah.
There had to be all of us to say, all of them to say, yes.
Yeah, I could coach that guy. So don't get it twisted. Brian Callahan is in the mix too. So I'm just saying the responsibility is here.
Point.
You know, we're going to go to a break. We need to keep this conversation going. We're going to go to a break. We will be right back because Run TMC times two today.
This is Tavondre Sweat, and I'm talking with TD. Blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle. Yeah. You hear it? Run TMC, we're back for a second. Addition to this, we had to keep this conversation going, man. Obviously, Chris Sanders, Terod Davenport, we are in the building. We got Parker Kelly producing, and we have had a fire conversation, you know, when you're looking at these things that have happened. I'll say this. When something like this happens, just given the relationship that Rand Carthon had with the players, there is some trickle down to the locker room. Not that it's going to impact their play. I'm not saying that. But there's initial trickle down to impact the morale. And a lot of – I'm not going to say a lot. Let me not exaggerate. A couple of the players have expressed a good deal of displeasure for the move that happened. You know, it just speaks to the connection that, you know, Rand and the players had. And I'll say this. I'm curious how free agency is going to work this year. And the reason why I said, oh, yeah, money talks. Money's always good. Don't get me wrong. But comfort level is also important.
Yeah.
And these guys are young men that are they understand that. That comfort level is what played a big part in Arden Key coming to the Titans when he did a couple years ago. That comfort level is a big part in – Calvin Ridley signing with the Titans. That comfort level was a big part of Jarvis Brownlee Jr. being able to make the transition. That comfort level is a big part of why Tavondre Sweat went through the season the way he did with zero issues, right?
Yeah.
Because remember this time, that well, before the draft, there was a lot of, oh, I don't know if that guy's going to do right. But he's been pretty golden this year. So I'm curious how free agency is going to work. But as a guy who's been in the locker room, how would you have handled, you know, an executive that you really cared for being let go?
You know, that's a great question, TD, and I'm glad you brought that up because it shows that when Rand first got in the building, what's the first couple of things he said? He said, I want to build a relationship with the staff, but I also want to build a relationship with the players. And the GM that I had the whole time I was with the Tennessee Titans was Floyd Reese. And when Floyd Reese got let go or things like that, I wasn't there at the time, but I still valued his friendship. So if I was in the locker room at that time when they let Floyd Reese go, I would have been upset. Why? Because the relationship that – you know, I built with Floyd Reese. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. The year we went to the Super Bowl, we had to get under the salary cap. And a lot of the older guys, you know, had to take pay cuts. And they were like, no, I ain't taking a pay cut. So he calls me up into the office. And I kind of knew what he was going to ask me. And he said, Chris, I need you to take a $600,000 pay cut. I'm like, what you talking about, Willis? So what I did, I said, you know what, I'll do it for the team, and I'll never forget this. He hugged me. General manager, and you know how you have a general manager that has that phony hug, like, oh, hey, brother, that's great. Mm-hmm. But he hugged me, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, thank you, Chris. Thank you for helping me. And I left the office. Now let's fast forward to where basically my career was over. I got cut for the Titans a year and a half later. Then I went to the Cleveland Browns, and I wasn't 100% right. I got cut because I was hurt. And they always talked about that the Florida Reese never brings back former players. So now I'm sitting home, and it's the seventh game of the season. I'm just sitting home. Basically, my career is over. And he calls me, and he says, Chris, I need a receiver. And he brings me in, knowing I was hurt, knowing I couldn't run, and know I couldn't bring a lot to the team. But he signed me, what, to let me retire as a Tennessee Titan.
Wow. See how good things happen to good people?
Yeah. You know? And go ahead.
No, go ahead, you.
No, you're right, man. It's just that's the relationship that me and Floyd Reese had. And the reason why I bring up that story, TD, is because I watched Rand in practice. I went to some of the practices earlier when they were having the earlier practices. I watched after those guys out the field, he was talking to him. I watched how he went up and gave him five. I watched how he put his arms around him and talked to him. So this wasn't no phony stuff. He wanted to make sure he'd be a relationship. So the guys that you're talking about that had this pleasure is because they had a great relationship with the general manager, which is Rand Carthon.
Yeah. It's interesting how a lot of those things work.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. If you're Brian Callahan, like, how are you looking at this? Because I'm going to tell you how sure. I see this. Yeah, yeah. I'm like that dog that's standing outside of the coach and shivering.
Yeah.
That's me. You know what I'm saying? I'm scared. But just from the conversation that, you know, I was one of the media that was able to talk to Burke Nihil, and Chad Brinker. And the way that I got it – now, again, this is my opinion. I'm not saying this is what they said. I'll repeat. I am not saying this is what they said. But my opinion, my interpretation of it is that, okay, we got this thing set up. We're going to bring in the general manager. But it doesn't work. And we believe in Brian. And we feel he could get there, and we understand that this process takes time and patience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're going to give him that patience, but we're going to hold him accountable. I get the feeling that if this thing doesn't go right, Brian Callahan is going to find himself right in the same spot as Rand Carthon.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, you know, everybody has to find out. It's kind of like a divorce, right? When you go through a divorce – each person is trying to say their case that I wasn't at fault. So what's going to happen when you divorce a coach, just like what we saw with Rand, they pointed out every fault that they quote-unquote said that he had. And that's not fair. And I don't think it's the way to do things. So it's going to be wild. You better believe, just like you gave the illustration where you're outside and it's cold and you're shivering, everything he does is going to be under a microscope from mm-hmm. who he drafts at the first pick. What do they do in the offseason? How guys are responding? If guys are in, guys working out? Are the coaches on the same page? Everything that we're talking about is going to be under microscope. Why? Because the demand on winning is so high. So I'm just saying, what if they go 1-16 this year? I think by the eighth game, they're going to find another coach because, mm-hmm. you know, they got to say, okay, we have to divorce you to show everybody that you're the problem. And you better believe that when he walks in the building, when he go gets a glass of water, when he's eating at the dinner table, everything is going to be under the microscope because this team wants to win. And I just think that, you know, you got to do everything perfect.
It's going to come out that, you know, he went back to get seconds and thirds, and that was a problem. He should have been doing that instead of he should have been watching film instead. I'm telling you, these narratives that it's ridiculous. And I addressed a couple of the narratives earlier in the first segment, and you know it's crazy. But that being said, so they took the vision, they kind of repackaged it, and they presented it as a new vision. And the vision is to draft, develop, and retain.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you want to do as an organization. But is that really revolutionary?
No. I mean, I've been in coaching for so long, and everybody says the same thing. We got to develop players. We got to get right people in here. We got to have the right character. But here's the difference. But the teams are successful and not successful. Is it intentional? That's the difference.
Elaborate upon that, please.
Intentional to be like this. In April 23rd, when it was said, it takes all of us to make it work, then be intentional about it. When you say that this is a family, be intentional about it. About using integrity, it's got to be intentional. To develop players, it's got to be intentional. If it's drafting the right guy for the pro for this program next year for the first pick, it's got to be intentional. To work together, it's got to be intentional. You can't say the words. You can't say, "Oh, we got to be a family." It's got to be intentional. And I'm gonna close with this. I coached in Montgomery Bell Academy, and I think I have the best head coach in America. His name is Coach Uberard. He said this. He said, "If we don't have it right in the meeting room and we don't love each other, how do we expect our team to do it?" You know why? What he was saying is, when we say we love each other and we got to say we're a family, it's got to be intentional. And that's why we've been successful. Even if the record doesn't show the last year or so, it didn't show. But everything we did was intentional, and the players saw it and they bought in.
Yeah, you guys made it to the playoffs last year. So that's not, you know, let's not act like your record was 3-14. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Speaking of playoffs, you know what? Yeah, I'll ask you. So, how do you see the playoff weekend going? I'll just take a quick look at the matchups. You got on Saturday is going to be an interesting game. Let me just bring this schedule up here. There's a couple. I mean, wild card weekend we're looking at. So, on Saturday, we got the Chargers at the Texans. Who do you have in that?
Chargers.
I happen to agree with you on that. I think Jim Harbaugh and that team, they're going to travel to Houston and give them the work. Yep. Okay, here you go. Pittsburgh at Baltimore.
I hate to say this. I think Pittsburgh's going to win. Oof. Pittsburgh. You know why? Oof. Because the pressure's on them. Because you know why? Because everybody's expecting me to go to the Super Bowl. So if they get down 14-0 or somebody throws an interception, the pressure is they're going to become tight.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I say that. Because everybody's saying if you don't go to the Super Bowl, the year is a bust. So now if they go out there and Lamar throws an interception and they get down 10-0, they're going to get tight and they're going to press. And I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers because they have a lot of veteran players that have been in that situation.
Okay. So, look, I'm going to tell you this. That game is at – it's a primetime game at M&T Bank Stadium. Now, I'm just going to drop a little jewel on you, right? John Harbaugh is 21-3 in home primetime games.
Okay.
And they got that guy who just turned 31.
Absolutely.
By the name of Derrick Henry. And we know what happens when he gets to the playoffs. Give me the Ravens.
You know why I'm saying it? Remember when we were limping into the playoffs and we played Baltimore, went up to Baltimore?
Yeah.
Baltimore was 13-3.
Yeah. But you know who was on that team? Derrick Henry.
I know.
It's cold. You got 247 pounds going. Woo, woo. Yeah, with a 300-pound fullback leading the way.
That's a great point, brother.
Hey, look, you never know what happened. I'll take the Ravens, though. So we'll real quick wrap this up. Sure. You got Denver at Buffalo.
I'm going with Denver.
Ooh.
I'm going with Denver. It's the same scenario.
Ooh.
If Bo Nix jumps out early in the first series and score a touchdown, they're going to get tight again. They're going to get tight because Denver wasn't expected to do anything with a rookie quarterback this year. Bo Nix, he wasn't expected to do anything. They're like, "Oh, we just happy to be here."
They're
playing with house money, and they like, "We ain't got nothing to lose. If we lose, it's a winning season because nobody expects us to win. But if we were going there and beat these jokers, it's just a plus to say I'm still on house money."
Hey, I hear what you're saying. Give me the Bills. All right, you got Green Bay at Philadelphia, and I personally think Lincoln Financial Field in this round is the toughest place to play. Ford Field, I think, is going to give it a run for the money, but the Lions aren't playing this week, so you got Green Bay at Philly. I will take the Eagles convincingly. What say you?
I'm going with Green Bay. It's the same thing because every scenario is the same. And the reason why I say Green Bay, they have nothing to lose. Everybody's saying, again, the Philadelphia Eagles, if they don't get back to the Super Bowl, they're talking about firing the coach. So now you got that pressure in the back of your head. You got that pressure of making it to where, okay, say if Green Bay takes the ball and they score 7-0, then all of a sudden the Philadelphia gets the ball and they have a 3-and-out, and then, you know, Green Bay scores again. You're going to see it start a lot of fussing and it start like, I'm telling you, it happens in the playoffs every single year.
You know the factor that they have is Josh Jacobs. And he's one of those guys.
Ooh, he's a dog now.
You could load the wagon with him. So, and if you run the ball that first drive, like you said, get out to a 7-0 lead, that could make some things different. I'll still take the Eagles, but I get your reasoning there. You got Washington at Green Bay. You know what? I'm finally taking a road team. I love the way – and there's a theme that you see developing in my conversation today and my picks for the most part, right? And that's running the football.
Are you running the football?
They're averaging $1.56 a game running the football. And I tell you what, having to defend Jaden Daniels, it does not make things easy. I think they go in and I think they beat the Bucs and they advance.
I don't know because – there's no pressure between both any team. You know, they weren't expecting them to do anything, both teams. But then now you got two quarterbacks that's playing at a high level. You got some receivers that are balling. So it's a toss-up. I would lean more towards Washington is because even though they have a rookie quarterback, they're still finding ways to win. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say with them, but you got the Bucks, man, that you know you have a quarterback in Baker Mayfield that says, you know what, I've been in this position before. I've been in pressure games, so this ain't nothing to me. So I'm still going to lean to Washington. I think they're going to win 17-14.
Ooh. Well, Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans, it's like you versus Dale Carter back in the day. How about it? I will go you versus Chris Dishman because I know y'all used to.
Oh, Dishray. Oh, yeah.
All right. So speaking of Chris Dishman, I know he you know, played for the Titans. But, hey, look, he was a Viking for a bit too.
Oh, he
was got
a
the Vikings at Rams. I'm going Rams. You saw last week, Leopards don't change their spots. They might could hide their spots for a little bit, but eventually you're going to see, oh, you know what? That's not a house cat. That's a leopard. It's got spots on it. And that's what you saw with Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
He made himself look like a franchise quarterback, but when it came time to do the do, overshot Justin Jefferson and didn't have a good game. Give me the Rams over the Vikings.
I'm going to go with the Rams also.
All right, we agree.
Their offense is just with their receivers and, you know, the quarterback and, you know, they just – this is where they shine. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, there you have it. Wild card weekend. Those are the predictions. We'll be back next week, and we'll do the next round of the playoffs. You know, we'll see if there's any other things to discuss as far as Titans moves. I know. Hopefully it'll be status quo. Definitely appreciate each of you for tuning in.
Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate Chris for coming on. No doubt about it. Parker Kelly making it happen.
PJ?
Check us out, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your fine listening material. Search Talking With TD, subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.